back again, but I feel like this is the first episode because there are a couple things. The Bengals Beat Podcast, Lindsey Patterson here, Tyler Dragon, and I'm going to let our producer and third guy in the booth introduce himself.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Kareem Elgazar. I'm back, baby.
What's up, Kareem?
Good to be back with you guys.
He's back, baby, and I want to add something to that, and we're going to get to all of our introductions because, again, rookie mistake by myself, Lindsey Patterson, not introducing ourselves, the last Bengals Beat podcast, but Kareem, you kind of have a voice, voice for audio.
I know. I used to be on the radio a few years back in earlier in my career, so I feel comfortable behind the mic and the lens, but in front of the camera, not so much. I definitely have a face for audio and radio.
Okay,
y'all need to give yourself some credit. First of all, Lindsey, we did introduce ourselves
Cincinnati.com,
so shameless plug. If you want to see it, hop on Cincinnati.com. And Kareem.
What's up, man?
I mean, you're about to get married in what, 2 weeks?
2 weeks, 15 what? Days.
So obviously you have a face for somebody,
That's right. Good point, man. That's right. I like it.
Well, I'm going to start with myself really fast. Another shameless plug here. Lindsey Patterson. I have actually been working with the Cincinnati Enquirer for 6 to 7 years doing Bengals stuff. Everybody remembers Beyond the Stripes. We have some fun features and show ideas coming for the 2019 season. I can't wait to release all of those ideas coming soon. But yeah, I've just kind of been around. You've seen me online, Cincinnati.com. I wear several different hats. I also work in the soccer world too. But yeah, you're going to hear a lot from me on the Bengals Beat podcast online on Cincinnati.com. But I've been doing this for 6 to 7 years. I am a vet now, Tyler. And one thing I want to bring up right now, because they did tell us, our Twitter people did tell us when we released the Bengals Beat podcast, is Tyler Dragon really his last name?
If I had a dollar every time I was asked that question, I would probably be a millionaire right now. Dragon is really my last name.
It's his name, people. Leave it alone.
You can look it up. I don't want to say you can Google me, but it'll say it there. So yes, Dragon is really my last name, like the animal.
And where did you come from? Tell our people.
So I came from Fresno, California. That's where I was born and raised. But I've fast forward to now how I got started in my career. I've been involved in the NFL since 2014. Started my career at NFL.com in Los Angeles. And then I went on to the now defunct All22.com. There's no more of that anymore. And then as far as last year, I was covering the Dallas Cowboys as part of a team of reporters covering the group with the Dallas Morning News. So I've been involved in football for a while now. I'm a lifelong athlete. I was a student athlete at UCLA and Howard. I've been involved in sports since I was knee-high. So sports is in my blood. I love sports, all sports. But, you know, football, that is a passion of mine. I love the game of football. I have family members who've played the game. I dabbled in it in college. So, yeah, that's why I'm here. Football's America's game. It's the number one popular sport in America. And hopefully the Bengals can do something this year, right?
Well, plenty to talk about already. The Cincinnati Bengals, they report to camp on Friday. Their first day's in Dayton on Saturday. And Kareem, I want to bring this up to you, too, because I think you remember this day. And we obviously have to talk about the Tyler Boyd contract. Tyler signing his extension, $43 million, four-year extension. I honestly, when I looked at that number, I thought, what a steal by the Cincinnati Bengals to be able to do that. But I'm going to actually back it all the way up, not even to 2018 when he had his breakout year of being the number two receiver. But I remember his rookie year. It was kind of a little bit of letdown. He's dealt with injuries and everybody's like, well, what is Tyler Boyd? Is he going to ever be the number two? And to have the season he had in 2018 was something for this offense and this club. They needed that with some of the injuries they were facing on with Andy Dalton's offensive weapons. But I think 2017, that last day, ironically, it was on the road, and the catch that sent the Buffalo Bills to the playoffs will be one that I felt like restored Tyler Boyd's confidence. And Kareem, can you back me up on that one?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, in his second year, and one thing I noticed about Tyler Boyd in the second year, yes, it was up and down. He mentioned that in his press conference yesterday. He had an up and down season, an up and down career. But that specific play, you could see his athleticism. You can see his skill at the position, particularly running that route. And then finding the ball, it was a deep ball, and then his breakaway ability in that play. That really, I think, personified his ability to the fan base and, more importantly, to the organization. That was obviously something that really put him on the map for fans.
And then to follow that up with a career highs the following season in catches, yards, and touchdowns, he deserved that money. He deserved that
money. Got paid, man.
He got paid.
4 years, $43 million.
And I also think that something that was on the radar yesterday, I don't even know why people were freaking out yet when the Tyler Boyd extension came out, because to get that done before camp, it's something the Cincinnati Bengals always do. AJ Green is someone who is not even going to be thinking about that next contract. The Bengals want him to be here. AJ Green wants to be in stripes. He will get paid. One thing the Bengals aren't getting enough credit for, I don't think, and it's just a broken record when I hear, oh, the Brown family, they're so cheap. No, they're getting guys paid. And say what you want about Andy Dalton, to pay what they did with his contract, NFL quarterbacks are getting overpaid that are below average. Andy Dalton was a steal. Geno Atkins, getting him paid. Half of the guys that get their contracts with the Cincinnati Bengals, they are good deals. And I don't get where they don't get enough credit for that.
Well, they draft, develop, and retain. Yep. That's what the Bengals do, particularly with their star players. And those players such as, of course, Geno and A.J. Green and Andy Dalton, but also now you can put Tyler Boyd in that mix. Mm-hmm. You know, last year, speaking about Tyler Boyd, I know when I'm shooting the games, you know, for those that don't know, I'm a photographer here at the Cincinnati Enquirer, and this is, you know, going into my fifth season covering the team. You know, when A.J. Green went down and, you know, you had no Tyler Eifert, when it was a critical play, when it was, you know, third down, I keyed in on Tyler Boyd because I knew Andy Dalton was going right to him. And one of the things that stuck out to me about his play last year, I love his game, but last year it really showed his fearlessness. He would go up, make acrobatic catches, not necessarily get he wasn't he didn't have any fear in terms of getting hit. And so that kind of separated him. They needed him last year with all the injuries, and he stepped up, and then he got paid. That's how you want to see it done.
Yeah, when I broke down Tyler Boyd's tape, he is a good route runner, above average. He has excellent hands, and he knows how to separate from coverage well. And the good thing about him is he desires to get better. He has that burning desire to keep on improving. During his press conference yesterday, he said he wants to be a Pro Bowler. And he said that, you know, he's going to keep on learning from the tutelage of AJ Green and learning from watching film from other players that were successful in years past. And that's what you want to hear from a player like that, especially when he just inked a new mega deal, $43 million, to just keep on having that desire to want more, to continuing to improve. And the sky's the limit for him. You know, I believe the Bengals firmly believe that once AJ Green ages on, Tyler Boyd can take the mantle and be that premier number one wide receiver for the organization. He has that mindset and he has that ability.
Confidence is a crazy drug, and to learn from one of the best in the NFL, AJ Green, on the other side, it's going to be crazy for Tyler Boyd in this year. And also getting paid right before you go into camp, that's pretty nice motivation for this 2019 season, this new offense under Zach Taylor. I think one thing I want to back up just a little bit that happened a little over a week ago, Clint Bowling, Kareem, a guy who you've talked to, I've talked to, just a great vet in the locker room, didn't want to walk away just yet, but with medical reasons, is going to retire with the Cincinnati Bengals. O-line was already a concern going in. I know some of the coaches were talking yesterday at their Bengals media day before camp started that the O-line is a work in progress right now. How's everybody feeling with Clint Bowling? Even though there were some rumors that, you know, he could have been cut or as a backup on this team, still a great guy who can play several positions on the O-line. How's everybody feeling about the O-line right now?
Yeah, I asked Duke Tobin yesterday at the Bengals media luncheon, you know, how are you feeling about the offensive line? And he told me straight up, the offensive line is a work in progress. I posted that on Twitter and got a lot of reactions from fans. The Bengals, They have an idea what's going on in the offensive line, but there is a huge question mark at left guard, and then there's a question mark around overall depth. Now, in my opinion, I believe it's either going to be John Jerry or Westerman that is going to plug in at that left guard spot. And, you know, maybe Trey Hopkins, but we'll see. I think Trey Hopkins is going to be a number two versatile role where he's going to be playing all along the offensive line, some at guard, maybe even some at tackle, even dabble in some center a little bit. And then don't forget, Redmond is going to come back from a four-game suspension. So once you get Redmond back, then you have a little bit more depth. But don't be surprised if the Bengals go out and sign another offensive lineman, whether it's a player that got cut from another team or still an available free agent. The Bengals, they've kind of hinted at it that they're not done with adding depth to the offensive line. And if they don't add depth, the Bengals will probably have guards switch over to the outside and play a little bit of tackle, and even some tackles dabbling in and playing some guards. So don't be surprised if they mix and match a little bit on that O-line. However, I do believe the Bengals will add some more offensive line depth during training camp.
I'm going to keep my comments and remarks on the offensive line brief because you pretty much well encapsulated it. I think if you look back in seasons past, the offensive line was more of a concern going into past seasons than it is going into this year, even with Jonah Williams out and the retirement of Clint Bowling. Clint Bowling was always at his locker, win or lose, and that's one thing that I think, you know, he can be proud of. Another thing is he had a solid career, solid play. He was always reliable in that position. Going into this current offensive line, Tyler, you mentioned it. There is some depth. You have Hopkins, you have Redmond, you have Westerman. There is some depth as compared to previous seasons that we haven't seen. And so, yes, it's a work in progress, but I think there's a little bit of depth. There's some room for optimism. And then, as people know from previous podcasts, I'm a little bit of an optimist. So I think that, you know, the offensive line was a point of concern, but it's not a disaster zone like, oh my God, what are we going to do about the offensive line? So I think we're going to be okay. It's a work in progress for sure.
So Kareem's an optimist. Mm-hmm. Lindsay is an optimist.
I'm just gonna say
I'm a realist. If realist the offensive line looks awful, I'm gonna say it looks awful. We'll see during training camp and that first preseason game in Kansas City, and we'll see during the season.
Just don't sleep on Hopkins.
Don't sleep on Hopkins at all. That guy came in last year when Billy Price was injured and played center. Like, he can do a little bit of everything. And I agree with you on that. And I actually want to bring up another guy who had himself a season under an O-line that was questionable last year. Joe Mixon, one of the top receivers in the AFC. You could say the best in the AFC North right now. He played his life out, if that's even the correct term. I'm just going to make that one. Last year, what he was able to do with that O-line was something. I agree with Kareem. I think the O-line is better going into 2019 than it was 2018. Yes, they're dealing with injuries. They lose their rookie. You lose Clint Bowling. That hurts. I'm not going to lie. That's going to hurt your O-line. You have different coaches in there. You know, that could change what this O-line is hearing when they go into this 2019 season. But I think you got a guy on the ground like Joe Mixon. You have healthy receivers and A.J. Green, Tyler Boyd, Tyler Eifert in the red zone. John Ross, what's he going to do with a new coach in Zach Taylor? Alex Erickson, if he makes the team, another receiver on this club. Having all those playmakers healthy and having a guy like Joe Mixon can be a game changer for confidence on that O-line.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned Joe Mixon. I picked him heading into the season as my top running back in the AFC North. And then you just have to look at how he performed last year behind that offensive line, as you alluded to. And coming back year three, I believe the sky's the limit for him. And look what the coaches did last year, Zach Taylor with the Rams. Did you see what Todd Gurley did? He had over 300 touches, one of the best running backs in the entire football league. So we know what Zach Taylor can do with good running backs.
I mean, his system is also predicated on establishing a good running game.
Mm-hmm.
And Joe Mixon is a stud. He is the exception to the rule when they talk about don't sign a running back to a second deal. He's an exception to that rule because his breakaway ability, his vision, and he has the ability to miss the big hit and then pull away. So even last year with a mediocre offensive line, Joe Mixon made that offensive line look good in certain games. I think going into this year, you guys are spot on. I expect a huge season from Joe Mixon, not only because it's another year forward, another year of learning the of becoming a pro, but also in this current Zach Taylor system, I think he's going to flourish. And to your point, Tyler, you know, look at, you know, it would be unfair to compare him to Todd Gurley, but it's a good starting point.
Yeah, I'm just looking at how good Todd Gurley was last year under a system where Zach Taylor was part of. So I believe Zach Taylor can affect Joe Mixon in that type of aspect. And Joe Mixon, he knows what it's like to be in the National Football League now. He's had a few years under his belt. And I firmly believe he's the best running back heading into this season in the division.
And speaking of running backs, I don't think this is even fair to say, but I'm going to say it. Gio Bernard. I mean, sometimes we forget all the playmakers this club has, from wide receivers to tight ends right now to running backs. Gio Bernard, a guy on the other side you can put out there on the field, and he can catch passes too, just like Joe Mixon. So a lot of weapons when you look at the Bengals offense right now. I know all eyes are still on the offensive line. All eyes are going to be on Andy Dalton every year, every season, of course, until they get that playoff win.
This is a contract year for Gio too, so he's going to be extra motivated.
A lot of playmakers on that offense right now. But one thing I want to get to, because everybody loves them, predictions. Before the season, some people are going out to Vegas. They're putting their money on it. I did see one out of USA Today, and I know that Kareem is optimistic. I'm pretty optimistic, positive person. Tyler, you can say or feel how you want, but I saw 3-13, and I thought, whoa.
That's absurd.
What?
That is a little bit disrespectful.
That's absurd. Come on.
3-13.
Yeah. 3-13.
Come on, man.
Three wins. I mean, their schedule, yeah, it's going to be difficult because I'm not going to break it all down right now, but playing in Seattle to open up the season, yeah, it's intimidating to go to CenturyLink Field. Yeah, San Francisco getting their quarterback and playing them, they're going to be better than they were last year. That's going to be a difficult start to the season. The AFC North. The Browns are better. Steelers are still going to be good. Baltimore, I'm still not sure about. It's a hit or miss with them, and I always feel like that.
Division champs, you got to give them their respect.
I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it.
I know you got thoughts, Tyler. Go ahead now. Because I got thoughts, man. I'm trying to reel it
in
a little bit here.
3-13 is straight up disrespectful. I'm not going to lie. I was looking at that article, and I was like, man, why you don't see the Bengals? They started off last year pretty good until injuries hit. And then they have A.J. Green coming back. Andy Dalton's back healthy. The depth in the offensive line, yes, that's an issue. Linebacker, yes, that's an issue. However, they have a good enough roster to be competitive in the division. And by competitive, I mean having 7-8 wins. I'm not going to make my prediction yet because that's coming later on Cincinnati.com. But, man, 3 wins?
Like, I saw that article, and I mean, first of all, does it have to be from USA Today? It's like our parent company. Like,
we love you, USA Today.
Anyway, you know, I looked over, I'm like, okay, let me look at this schedule again, just a quick skim at this schedule, all right? And I know it's a deep, dark, you know, rabbit hole, so we're not going to go down too far into the schedule. The way I put it is I think they're going to be one of the most competitive last place teams that you've ever seen.
So you have them last.
I have them. I think they're going to be a really fun
place teams.
You know, I know it's hard to.
Are they like the Reds?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So you look at it, and you know they're going to be a fun, competitive 7-9 kind of ball club. And I think, because you look at the roster, it's pretty much the same as it was last year. There's some few changes, and I'm trying to empathize with this writer saying, okay, the roster hasn't changed, and Zach Taylor is a first year head coach, and you know the first full time defensive position for Lou, the defensive coordinator, and all this other stuff. Okay, but but like 3 wins, man, are you at? No way. I think they're going to be in the 7-8-9 win, just like, you know, Tyler was saying. And I think fans can, as long as they're competitive and they're exciting and it's an exciting brand of football, which I think Zach Taylor will deliver, I think fans will be okay with that, you know. But 3 wins is wild. He's talking wild.
So just trying to get into the mind of the writer, and I won't name him because we don't want to bash our quote-unquote coworker.
Brethren.
Yeah. So he probably has the Bengals beating the Bills,
The Dolphins,
the Cardinals, the Raiders maybe, or the Dolphins.
So they're going to get swept in their division by every single team.
Maybe the Jets. Like there are some winnable games. Like when I'm looking at this schedule, quick glance, I know the Bengals have a better roster than the Dolphins. They play them late in the season, obviously. I know they have they can be competitive against the Jets. They play the Jets at home late in the season. Raiders at Oakland, that game is dicey. Rams in London.
That's probably it.
I mean, you're playing a loaded Rams team, and again, it's on the road. I don't know what's going to happen, and things could be different. I think, yes, the roster looks similar than what we saw in 2018, but I think one thing is different. And again, we haven't seen Zach Taylor coach a preseason game or a regular season game yet, but I think some of the games that this team lost that was close with Marvin Lewis, it could maybe be a game changer with Zach Taylor.
Yeah.
They could end up winning that. I mean, I don't know. It's we could say it on paper. Oh, look what he did here. Look what he did here. Oh, you compare him to Sean McVay. Say this and that. I just feel like I can see 7-9. I could see 7-9.
Well, you're playing the 49ers, the Cardinals, and the Bills, three of the first five games of the season. There are two wins at least in there. You have to think with the rookie quarterback in Arizona, I don't care if he's a first-round pick, the number one overall pick in Kyler Murray, you have to feel like the Bengals have the advantage in that ball game, especially here at home. And then traveling up to Buffalo, yes, could be a little bit difficult. However, if I'm looking at both of their rosters, the Bengals have a better roster than the Buffalo Bills. And that's two wins already.
So,
first 5 weeks.
I mean, so put your money on that, man. I'll take the over. I'm gonna go over three wins. I think that definitely will happen. I don't know. I mean, it's growing pains. Yes, you have a vet in Andy Dalton. You have healthy guys, and to have a Tyler Eifert for, you know, a majority of a full season would be huge for Tyler Eifert and this offense in the red zone. I think that's a game changer. There's still several weapons defensively and offensively with this team, and I just think a new voice is the game changer. I could see the 7-9, 8-8. And I think fans, of course, they're going to say, no, I want to win. I want to go to the playoffs. I think at this moment, from what they have dealt with for the past over a decade, I think that they would take that. I think they'd take that in the first year under Zach Taylor.
Yeah, as long as it's a competitive brand of football and exciting brand of football, because I think that's one of the main gripes with the fan grievances with the fans is that it's stale, you know, same old, you know, nothing exciting. So even if, like I said earlier, 7-8 wins, exciting brand of football, it's fun to watch. I think as a first season for a new head coach, I think the fans will live with that.
Yeah, if they go 3-13, Zach Taylor's on the hot seat.
Yeah.
After 1 year.
Well, I don't know.
3-13.
Cincinnati. Yeah. I don't know. Some people see these NFL athletes and they think, nothing hurts them. Whatever you say to them doesn't hurt them. Having a bad season doesn't hurt them. They make millions and millions of dollars. I don't feel sorry for them if they have a bad year. Well, his rookie year really got to John Ross. And I think that having that new voice, and not Marvin Lewis's fault, but I think having that new voice and Zach Taylor, it felt like the first day of school when I went into OTAs and minicamp, and John Ross had one of the biggest smiles on his face. And maybe that new voice will help the confidence in John Ross. And I think with Alex Erickson, I want to back off that. A guy who was, some would say, fighting for his job in training camp 2018. And not only did he fight for it, he was one of the best guys on kick, punt, return. He's an extra receiver to have out there if you do have injuries in Green and Boyd. Just another option in speed and a great attitude, too. But I think those are definitely your threes and fours. And I know that's pretty easy in that wide receiver room to make that depth chart, but that's where I'm going.
You took the nail right in the head. That's exactly where I'm going with, too. John Ross is firmly entrenched at the number three role. And people have to realize, rookie growing pains, that's common. That's what John Ross went through. He started off injured, and he had a downer rookie year. That's okay. Last season, he had a pretty productive year based on, you know, the year prior, 21 catches, 7 touchdowns. That's not bad for a young receiver. Now, we know that we would like more out of him, especially being one of the top picks. He's runs a 4.240. That is exceptionally fast, NFL record at the combine. So hopefully the Bengals, Zach Taylor and that offense, they can utilize John Ross so he can take the top off the defense. You have A.J. Green, you have Tyler Boyd that are going to be getting a lot of the attention. So you have John Ross out there too. and he can slide by those safeties, slide by that nickel back, and take the top off the defense and create plays that way. And we saw a little bit of that last year with those 7 touchdowns. So John Ross, number 3, and yes, Erickson, number 4. He's a serviceable receiver. He's not going to do anything flashy, but he works hard, and he gets his job done. And he's a threat on special teams, too, punt return and kick return.
I don't have much to add because, it's spot on. I mean, who else is on the roster?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, to be honest.
I think we got to think. Don't forget, don't sleep on Auden Tate. I'm not saying.
Oh, the fans won't let us sleep on Auden Tate. Don't worry.
Not as a, 3 or 4, but, making the team as a receiver.
Yes.
And then the thing is about John Ross, I've been brutally hard on John Ross over the last few years. I'm not going to rehash how hard I've been on him, okay? But he needs to catch the ball, okay? He needs to catch the ball. And then he will see more playing time. The thing is with John Ross is that he's so smart, okay? And I think he gets in his head a little bit too much. He just needs to play, relax and play. And one thing as a photographer, I'm like, who's going to get playing time? I look at practice and the order that they're running in. So far in the off-season programs, John Ross has been running 2 or 3 behind, when AJ's been healthy back on the field. He's been running 2 or 3. Mm-hmm. So they look at him as the number 2, he's on there, number 3, Tyler, mm-hmm. Tyler Boyd's number 2.
We got you.
So, that is what I see, and I think they're going to slot him in there as the number 3 receiver. So, and then, they got to throw the ball to Uzama and Eifert.
You forget about CJ sometimes because he is there.
In terms of being a receiver, Uzama is going to be, the number 4. You know what I mean? And Tyler, I made a joke about it a few years ago, and it looks like they're going to try to go in this direction. He's going to be the third down red zone tight end, right? I think you're going to see more of that from Tyler. Actually, that's actually going to be his role.
And he thrives in that role, too.
Of course.
He's a great red zone.
Great target. Great hands. He has great situational awareness in terms of where he is on the field. So I think that's all I really have to add into the receiver.
And at the same time, that's going to keep Tyler Eifert healthy too.
Yeah,
I'm not trying to root for players, but Tyler Eifert's one of those guys where I'm like, I want that guy to get paid.
Yeah.
I want him to get paid. He's deserved it. He deals with these injuries, and it bothers him more than it does bother fans when they make jokes about his injuries or he's made of glass. Nobody wants to be out on the field more than Tyler Eifert. So to see him rehab to get back out there, this 1-year contract is a huge, huge 2019 for Tyler Eifert.
Has to stay healthy. That's the most important thing for him.
Cars, guys. Cars, cars, cars in training camp. It's one of my favorite things, even though I drive a 2017 Jetta. I don't really know a whole lot about it. It's not really decked out or anything like that. I'm really bad at getting oil changes.
Oh, that's bad.
Like, super bad about it.
It's the lifeblood of the car.
As soon as I feel like, oh, this car probably isn't working like it used to, it's time to go get that oil change.
Check engine light on right
now? Oh, always. 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 I don't even know.
Did you check the sticker on top of your car?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, it's fading.
You're not
it's
due
fine.
For one right now,
it's
right?
It's fine. I'll get it done eventually. Just, I might need you guys to pick me up on the side of the road one day
really
just in case
that
Jetta
goes. Yeah, that's not good. You're probably 1,000 miles due for another oil change.
Probably. But Tyler, Brink's truck to training camp? What's this?
Wow. Yeah.
Wait, what?
We have seen a lot of players arrive in training camp with so many different styles. And today, Jalen Ramsey from the Jacksonville Jaguars arrived in training camp, and he literally backed up the Brinks truck. If you haven't seen it, it's all over Twitter. He backed up the Brinks truck and arrived to training camp. And then he had a spokesperson with him promoting this act. It was hilarious. So that got us to thinking, how would we arrive to training camp, and what do we think the Bengals are going to arrive in to training camp? I know you had a lot of fun with this, Lindsay.
Yeah, I'm one of those team chiefs, and again, I'm not really cool into cars. Like, I don't know anything about a cool car. I'll just, if it's – I like the maybe 2017, 2018, but I'm not like a big sports car person.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just going to go Team Geo right now because Kareem, I'm sure you've seen it during OTAs and minicamp. His teammates giving him a hard time. Geo has been rocking an old school Honda, taking good care of it. Probably a car that I would drive when I was 16, 17, even in, I drive it now if it still works. But his teammates are just like CJ Uzama, Alex Erickson. They've been having some fun on social media with it, but he's bringing it back. He's going to drive up into camp in it. And what I like about it is it almost just brings the vibe of Team Cheap. And I like that. I'm saving my money, you know, and maybe he does have a super nice car in the garage that he's not bringing out to camp and he's just driving that to work, which I totally get. So I would probably just go kind of old school Impala. You know, something that if somebody hits it, you know, and they're driving fast through there for practice and camp.
So it's your work car is what you're telling
my
me.
My work car.
Your work oh, car.
Okay. My work car that I can spill things in and right, it's totally fine. What about you, Kareem?
I don't know. See,
be more flashy than that, I hope.
You know, I was thinking, you know, trying to say something that I was, you know, something honorable or something like, you know, I drive an 09 Camry with 165,000 miles
on
it.
I like that.
And that thing is a beast, okay? So I'm about to whip that thing right into Paul Brown Stadium, all right? And then let my play on the field show what I'm worth. You know what I'm saying?
I like that.
I was thinking about, but then I probably just, if I had that kind of money, I'm somewhat of a car guy. I'm not a full-on car guy. I appreciate nice cars. I appreciate the little details, but I'm not a full-on car guy. I think I'd go classic with that Mercedes G-Wagon.
Oh, yeah. All black on black?
Not black on black, but I don't like the tinted windows too black. I like tint, but not because when it's too tinted, I think it's a little tacky.
The orangey leather inside?
Beige interior.
Okay.
We're going almost, we have the same wavelength a little bit. I would go with a Mercedes too, black on black, black rims, or I could go with an Escalade.
Oh, Sclade.
There's a couple Escalades in that.
You can't go wrong. You can't go wrong.
Yeah,
with
can't
Escalade.
Go wrong with that. It depends. It depends.
That's
but
right.
I would ride, you know, classy, but in style too. Mm-hmm.
But don't. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if I just rolled up in my silver Camry though.
Yeah. No. I'm agree with you though. I'd be driving that Honda in there.
I mean, it's work. It's work time. I'm going to drive my work car.
Gio gets it done though. He gets it done on the field, drives that Honda in there. And one car that'll stand out, and you'll see it, Tyler, as the season goes on. Carlos Dunlap drives this big old truck. Like, I don't even know. I think he needs a ladder to get in. He's a big guy. But I think he almost needs a ladder to get in there. And it's just like, I don't even know how it fits in some parking garage, to be completely honest. Like, it's humongous. But that's what I'd be rocking. Some old school stuff.
Old school stuff. Okay.
Well, this was our first one, guys, before pre-training camp, all that fun stuff. Still plenty more to get to. Again, send us your Twitter questions every week. We'll throw that out there. We're going to have some recap videos from camp coming up. Plenty on Cincinnati.com. What's up there now?
So I have a story coming up, 5 questions heading into training camp. Keep it locked on Cincinnati.com. That will be up there relatively soon. And then I'm going to have a 53-man roster projection that's also going to be on the website relatively soon. If you did not hear all the Tyler Boyd news, we have a lot of extensive coverage on the website right now. I have 2 stories about it on the website. I know Kareem was working hard yesterday getting those videos up.
Hey,
so we
man.
Have videos.
We got plenty of videos.
Plenty of content on Cincinnati.com all about the Tyler Boyd contract, how that affects AJ Green and Cincinnati Bengals, and just articles just heading into the training camp. So keep it locked on Cincinnati.com. Keep it locked on our Twitter handles. We will provide all things Cincinnati Bengals.
You know, one thing about the media luncheon real quick is that, you know, we don't get to speak to Mike Brown very often, actually once a year, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he said some really interesting stuff, not only about the current upcoming season, but actually about him, how the organization operates a little bit. And it was kind of rare for him to open up about that kind of stuff. He talked about you know, handing off the reins a little bit. So if you are interested in how the organization works, that video, extended interview with Mike Brown, close to 4 minutes of Mike Brown, and you can learn a lot.
Mike Brown talks once a year. It's good stuff. Go to Cincinnati.com. Plenty of content up there from the media luncheon. Plenty coming before training camp starts. And all weekend, week long, make sure you stay tuned. Follow us on Twitter @Enquire, Facebook, and Twitter. Thanks for joining us.